figure 22, area 1. On what frequency can you receive hazardous in-flight weather advisory service in the vicinity of area 1? In other words, what frequency do you receive HIWAS? Well, we look for a frequency communications box, and there is a box that says VORTAC Minot 117.1. Now, the 117.1 is underlined. If the VOR frequency is underlined, there's no voice capability on that frequency. What that means is there's no two-way voice communications on the frequency. The flight service station can still transmit transcribed weather broadcasts and HIWAS on those frequencies, but you can't use it for listening to the flight service station. In fact, in this particular case, the frequency box on top is for communicating with the Grand Forks flight service station. The word Grand Forks is in the brackets under the box. That's the controlling flight service station that operates the remote communications outlet from the Minot VORTAC. And the H in the upper right-hand corner of the box indicates that HIWAS is available on the VOR frequency 117.1. The Minot VORTAC is right on the airport. There's a control tower field there, 118.2. There's an asterisk next to the control tower frequency, which means the tower is part-time. And then the letter C means that's the common traffic advisory frequency. The airport is 1,716 feet above sea level, and it has lighting, pilot-controlled lighting, and the longest runway is 7,500 feet. Other frequency is 122.905, that's the UNICOM frequency. See, the airport is 1,716 feet above sea level. It has pilot-controlled lighting, or part-time lighting, or lighting on request. I guess the star next to the L. The longest runway is 7,500 feet. The UNICOM is frequency 122.95, that's an airport of entry. Actually, the L with the star means that there's some limitations on the lighting, and you need to refer to the airport facilities directory. It may be lighting, could be part-time, it could be on request. The question I have is, say you're approaching Minot from the south. Say you're approaching from Area 3 at the base of the chart. What course should be selected on the OBS to make a direct flight from Mercer County Regional Airport, which is the airport in the lower left-hand corner of the chart, to the Minot VORTAC with a 2 indication? Well, you'll be heading basically north, going to the VORTAC, and you want the OBS course selector to agree with your heading indicator, so it should be pretty much a northbound course should be selected. One of the answer choices is 359 degrees. Well, that's pretty north. That's the one I would choose. You want the OBS indicator to agree with the heading indicator if you're going to or from a VORTAC. Question that asks which public use airports depicted are indicated as having fuel. Services and fuel available are depicted by tick marks on the basic airport symbol. Normal working hours are Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. local time. Consult the airport facility directory for service availability at airports with hard surface runways greater than 8,069 feet. And then the star next to the airport symbol indicates a rotating beacon in operation sunset to sunrise. Well, services available are indicated by tick marks, so let's look at our figure and see what airports have tick marks. The answer choices are Minot International and Mercer County Regional Airport, Area 3. Well, Minot International certainly has tick marks, and that has services and fuel. What about Mercer County Regional Airport, Area 3? Let's go look at Area 3, Mercer County Regional Airport. And there's an airport symbol. There are tick marks, so yes. Let's see, can there be a more correct answer? Minot International and Garrison, Area 2. Well, Garrison is just above the lake, and there's that lake in the lower part of the chart. That's Audubon Lake. And Garrison does not have tick marks, so it's not Garrison. Minot International and Mercer County Regional Airport. What type of military flight operations should a pilot expect along IR-644? Well, let's take a look at IR-644. Look at the bottom of the chart, right above Mercer County Regional Airport. Actually, it's above controlled airspace shading, where controlled airspace begins at 700 feet above Mercer County Airport. There's an IR-644 that goes horizontally across the chart, and then it takes an abrupt turn to the northeast. Actually, it says IR-644-649. When we talked about IRs and VRs, those are military training routes, and IRs are operated under instrument flight rules regardless of weather conditions. If it is a three-digit number, it means that the flights are operating above and below 1,500 feet AGL. And if they have a four-digit number, then no segment is above 1,500 feet. There are going to be 1,500 feet and below. So these are three-digit numbers, so the flights are operating above and below 1,500 feet. And they're operating regardless of weather conditions. So the answer is IFR training flights above 1,500 feet AGL in speeds in excess of 250 knots. The way I remember these is that if the route has more numbers, that means that it's lower. Think of the numbers in the military training route as air molecules. There are always more air molecules closer to the surface. The higher you go, the fewer air molecules there are. So if the military training route is only a three-letter route, that means that operations are above 1,500 feet. And if there are four-letter routes, that means that they're below 1,500 feet. What is the CTEF multicom frequency for Garrison Airport? Well, there, the word multicom gave it away. It's 122.9. It's on the chart next to the Garrison Airport, just above the lake there, Audubon Lake. Multicom is what you have at airports where there's no flight service station, no UNICOM, and no tower. We know what a tower is. We know what a flight service station is. We know a UNICOM means that there may or may not be someone there. It's a radio on a table somewhere in an office. If there's someone there, they may or may not hear the radio and reply. That's UNICOM. And it's used for self-announcing your position when you're inbound and outbound, and it's used for calling for fuel and services. 122.9 is multicom. There's no one there. There may or may not be a radio there, but it certainly would not be attended, and everyone self-announces and just talks to each other on 122.9. That's multicom frequency. Oh, here's another navigation problem. Refer to figure 22. What is the estimated time en route from Mercer County Regional Airport, Area 3, to Minot International, Area 1? Well, we know that we're going to put our VOR on 359 degrees, right? Because we already talked about that. So that's your magnetic course. The wind is from 330 degrees true at 25 knots, and the true airspeed is 100 knots. Now we're going to add 3.5 minutes for departure and climb out. The way we solve this problem is we measure the true course between the two points is approximately 011 degrees. And we're going to determine our ground speed using the flight computer. Remember the back side of the flight computer had the wind computer on the back of that? So we're going to set the wind direction opposite the index on the back, rotate the plotting disk so that the wind direction is opposite the true index, 330 degrees, and then we're going to mark the wind speed 25 knots up from the grommet. So we'll put the grommet on 100 knots and we'll mark 25 up from that. Then we'll rotate the wind computer to our true course of 011, and we'll slide our true airspeed of 100 knots over the wind mark and read our ground speed over the grommet, and it looks like the ground speed is around 80 knots. Now the distance that we measured with our plotter between the two points, the distance is 59 nautical miles. So if we're doing 80 knots, how long will it take us to travel 59 nautical miles? Well, I'll take out my little handy-dandy calculator here, and we'll do 59 divided by 80 equals 0.73 hours. So 0.73 hours times 60 is 44.2 minutes. Write that down. 44.2 minutes. Then we'll add our 3.5 minutes. 3.5, and we'll come out with 47.7 minutes. Well, one of the answer choices is 48 minutes, and that's the one I would choose. That's how you calculate your estimated time en route. Ah, there's another question. Area 2. Which airport is located at approximately 47 degrees, 39 minutes, 30 seconds north latitude? Well, I'm going to copy it down. I'm just going to copy the degrees in minutes, okay? So I'm going to write 47, 39, and then our longitude is 100 degrees, 53 minutes. So 47, 39, 10053. Well, if you look at the chart for a line of latitude, you'll see that 48 degrees is clearly marked about two-thirds of the way up the chart. So anything south of that is going to be less than 48 degrees, and anything north of that is going to be more than 48 degrees. And then we see a line of longitude pretty close to it, 101 degrees west longitude. We know that anything to the left of that line is going to be more than 101 degrees, and anything to the east of that line is going to be less than 101 degrees. So the question is asking us, what airport is at 100 degrees 53 minutes? Well, that means it's not quite at 101 degrees, so it's going to be east of the 101. And then the latitude is 4739, so there's 48. The line underneath that, the horizontal line that's running along the bottom of the lake, is 4730. So 4740 is going to be 10 miles north of that line. Now there's 30 miles between those two lines of latitude. Each tick mark along the line of longitude is 1 nautical mile. So all we need to do is count up 9 tick marks from the 4730, and then we're going to go over 7 tick marks to the right of that. So if we go up 9 tick marks and we go across 7 tick marks, we get to Crooked Lake Airport. That's how that works.